Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to the show. Hope you're doing well. Tonight we are discussing power generation, like from solar panels. I mean, essentially that's the cheap. That is the clean, renewable, quiet, no birds getting hit by blades. I mean, for like wind generators. that was a joke. It's a very nice resource because these panels last 25, 30 years with only a very small reduction in the power they put out. Essentially when you buy solar panels to put on your roof, you're paying as much, if not more, for the workmen labor to come up and mount these things on your roof and associated brackets and electrical connections and such, but that amounts to more than the cost of the panels. Really quite a expensive thing there. I have a few panels, not on the roof, and one of them that I bought was a large one that I also bought he threw in with it. I'm not sure which. I paid extra for the inverter because it puts out like more than you can like easily store in batteries. Most batteries typically are 12 volts is typical for that. And it's large. Battery like a golf cart battery or something, it might be 6 volts, and then you get two of those to get 12 volts, and you could get four of them and have 24 volts and such. So, but this 255 watt panel that I have puts out up to 60 volts, which you need to step down if you're going to put that into a battery bank or a controller. Usually a controller can maybe have a high 20s, maybe 30 volts, but not 60. So that is an issue of contention. So I bought for like $100 this Enphase grid tie inverter, which puts out 240 volts AC. And so it grid ties to the grid, to your electric, you plug it into 240 volts, like an AC or a laundry or a stove outlet, some kind of, might have to hardwire it in or some, or make a outlet. But that's how it works. But the thing of it is, you hear people, when I was buying the panels, this other guy was out there buying from the same guy that was reselling him as a hobby. He'd buy like $5,000 worth, and then he'd piecemeal sell them to, he had his whole living room full of these panels. Of course, the small, cheaper ones go first because they're within almost everybody's, or most people that have an interest, a desire, it's within their reach because they're cheap. And the more you buy, the cheaper you get them. So said I got from him I think I got 50 watters, and when I bought four of them, I got them for $1 a watt. So I paid $200 for four 50-watt panels, and I got I got 200 watts at four 50-watt panels, and these are about 2 foot square each, 2 foot 2 inches with the, there's aluminum frame around, very sturdy. Anyway, that is a off-the-grid system that goes to charge batteries. And then 6 months or a year later, I was seeing reductions in my power bill and such, and wanted to get more solar. So I got a 255-watt panel. It's a Chinese or Canadian or some such new panel. I think I paid less than $1 a watt on that because it's a single panel and it's a lot of watts at one time. So And it was probably meant to be a roof mount, but mine's on a pole in the backyard. Anyway, and I also bought the grid tie inverter because, ooh, that'd be cool. The other guy there buying one from this hobby seller was mentioning something about they're going to charge you for energy you dump into the grid. And he was seeing stuff like bidirectional meter, and he just didn't want to believe it was true. And then when I found that if you're not using power when the sun's shining brightly and you're, you know, say you've got everything turned off in your house and you're putting out 200 watts, because it's really hard to get a full capacity out of a rated 255 watt, is if you have exact sun tracker for two axis, that is X and tracking the sun across the sky as well as tracking the altitude of the sun for the time of the year, the azimuth, as it were, its inclination towards vertical, which it is almost in summertime, and then it gets closer towards the horizon, you know, close to like a 45 or a 35 degree angle in the winter. And so then your heat kind of comes in the window, or your sunlight comes in the windows more in the wintertime than it does in the summer, because it's mostly directly overhead in the summer. Anyway, yeah. If you have a tracker, for two-axis tracker, you get to see pretty closer, very close to, much closer for longer periods, what the maximum output of your rated solar panel is. I don't have those, so I don't really see that very often. And anyway, I noticed you have to, it's a real pain to have something running while you're gone, when the sun's shining. If it's a cloudy day, you don't really have to worry about it. Otherwise, if you don't have the special bidirectional meter, they are actually charging you. These digital meters now don't have a big dial that spins backwards or anything. A digital meter will just cease energy flowing and charges you for all energy, whether it's going in from the grid, from the power line, or whether you're dumping it into the grid from your house, you know, which requires a special grid tie inverter, which synchronizes to the 60 cycle frequency and actually puts a little bit higher voltage so it knows to go back the other way to the grid. If you're not using it, they're charging you for money you're putting back, unless you have a special bidirectional meter, and that requires a lot of paperwork and a electrical guy to come out and inspect and this and that and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's really not easy. Anyway, I saw this article by the Chattanoogan.com, dated March 18th this year, only about a week ago. And it's about a guy who's having ongoing issues with North Georgia Electric Membership Co-op. He says he owns a little solar company, one in Chattanooga and one in Georgia, Marietta. Chattanooga, of course, is Tennessee. They've been installing solar all over for the last 8 years. He's writing out of deep concern about his personal solar install at his home in Ringgold and any of his future customers in the NG EMC, North Georgia Electric Membership Territory. I'm going to break right here. I just read the first paragraph at the Chattanoogan.com on the article entitled "Waiting on a Bidirectional Meter" from NG EMC. John is on the line with us. John, I just recently had John's co-hosting tonight. I just recently informed him about 30 minutes ago regarding this article and this occurrence. And he saw the article and pretty quickly responded with, "Well, it's the TVA corruption, and the TVA is the Tennessee Valley Authority, federally owned corporation in the United States, created by congressional charter in May 1933 to provide navigation, flood control, electricity generation, fertilizer manufacturing, and economic development in the Tennessee Valley, a region particularly affected by the Great Depression. Wow. 1933 was coincidentally the year that the United States federal government declared bankruptcy and became a United States corporation. John, how are you this evening?
Okay, I think.
Good to hear it. Good to hear it. So I'll stop my blathering and let you put in 2 cents.
Well, I just, you know, it's like what you already just said. It's that they're not really regulated locally. Like if you were in Florida and you had a power company, they would have boards set up that would regulate you. And like if you're the power company and you say, well, you know, we're losing money here because it's costing us more money to run this and fuel's more expensive, so we want to raise the rate. Well, you would have to go to a board that's set up by, you know, the local authorities, mm-hmm. and you would ask the board permission to do this or that. Well, if you're a Tennessee Valley Authority, you're like your own kingdom. Because that's basically the way it's set up, is that they were like, you know, the sovereign state. Because they said, look, here's a whole bunch of land, and we want to take it over, and we're just going to take all your land. We don't care if you have farms on it, because you have this nice, good, fertile bottom land that you're farming. And right. we don't give a crap, because we're going to build a dam, and we're going to flood it, and we're going to produce electricity, and screw you. And they just turned out to be a bunch of a-holes. And so that they're basically... There's no, you know, oversight or anything. They just do whatever they want. So,
sounds like the Federal
Reserve. If they
want to
screw you over and just take all of your electricity, and they know that they can do it all they want as long as they don't give you a meter, and there's nobody that's going to force them to give you a meter, then they're just going to laugh. It's like, huh, dumbasses. You know, if they want to put solar cells and connect it to the grid, well, we'll just take their stuff. But we don't care. We're not going to give them any credit. We'll actually charge them for it. You know, and that's just, you know, government run amok. And that was the reason why there was originally the revolution. Is, you know, the
right.
thing was taxation without representation. Well, there's mm-hmm. no representation of the local people to govern the Tennessee Valley Authority, because they're the authority. They're like, you know, God on earth over their domain that was created by the federal government. You know, and this just shows what the government could do anytime they want to. And, you know, they could just declare a situation like this over the entire country. Say, well, you know, because of the situation here, we understand that, you know, we just can't have democracy anymore, and you guys can all just go to hell, and what are you going to do about it? And they can, because there's the example right there. It sits there in our face every single day, and it's been there since the 30s. It shows us, you know, we can do this to you, you know, and you can't do anything back. What the hell are you going to do? Now, Tennessee, that was the heartland, basically, of where all the infantry came from for the Confederacy to fight the Union. You know, the saying was that the South is going to fight against the North to the last Tennessean. That was the saying, because the Tennesseans were the ones that were doing actual fighting. They were the badass people that could kick ass, because they're the ones that had to basically carve out that territory out of Indian land. So these are the old, you know, hardcore Indian fighters that settled into these places, because they had to take every square inch of that land and fight for it. So they're just tough people, you know. And so if they could go in there and go to the toughest, most badass Americans and the most, you know, independent-minded people and just take it over and run right over the top of them, and they know they can do that to everyone, because most people are a lot softer than that. They never had to do anything tough. They don't have to be, you know, pioneers or anything else. They just you know, take advantage of the situation. They're just going to roll over. So they they know that we're screwed whenever they feel like doing it.
I see a TVA. They have a 2005 map of TVA, and this damn TVA, it's this green zone that covers, it has like five or six states, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, a little bit of what's that, Virginia? Kentucky, and of course all of Tennessee, but also pieces like maybe a third or quarter or less of these other surrounding states. And yeah, that's like a heartland chunk of the Confederacy there. I mean, you know, they call the Confederate War the War of Northern Aggression. Wasn't really about slavery. I mean, that's just the official thing you get taught in government public school.
No, it was all about the big corporations. That's what we live under today, because it was war against the big corporations, against the individual person.
Right.
And you had these great big northern industries that created this huge corporations, and they bought and sold to them people in Congress. They got what they wanted, and they put in their guy, Lincoln, who was going to pass all these laws that were going to favor the corporations and screw the states. You know, you get rid of state rights. Well, that was what the United States was. It was a union of sovereign states. Well, if you destroy the sovereignty of the states, then who's the real power? Well, it leaves the corporations.
Yeah, that's it. That's corporations, a corporate de facto operating government. That's why we have ding-a-lings like Nancy Pelosi. Let's just pass the bill and see what's inside. We have ding-a-lings like Barack Obama going on golf vacations around the globe, kowtowing, bending over.
Yeah, because he's not an actual working president. He's just a puppet that does whatever his masters tell him. So he doesn't have to sit there and study and strategize and think. You know, that was the last person that ever did that was Kennedy. And he was the guy that actually worked. I mean, actually labored, was there in the office and had people there and meetings and pour over information and study things and discuss things and think about things and make plans and stuff. You know, Obama does zero of that, because it's all done by these big corporate think tanks, and they tell him what to do, whatever
exactly
their conclusions are. So he doesn't think nothing. All he has to do is read the teleprompter, and that's it.
That's what he does a good job of. Caller, go ahead. How are you, caller?
Yes, I'm doing great, guys. Just here listening to your wonderful show tonight. Great.
Do you happen to have solar power?
Solar power? No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, I just was curious because that's what the title of the subject, the matter of the show was, and then this movie,
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't calling in to chat. I just wanted to listen.
Oh. Well, you called the switchboard, which was for comments, but if you're just listening, I guess you're either doing that through your phone or the internet.
Wait a minute. Who said that the switchboard was for commenting? There's plenty of people who call into the switchboard just to listen.
Huh. I didn't know that.
You know, Yeah, that's why they have the number one button. You know, you press the number one if you want to talk, and if you don't want to talk, then you don't press the number one. You just sit there.
Okay, so that's kind of like your telephone call-in. Okay, I got you now.
Yeah, that's the message that I get.
Yeah.
Whenever I call in, I get a little recorded message that says, you can now listen to the show. And they don't say, they used to say, well, if you want to comment, press 1. But I never get that for some reason. All I get is, yes, you may now listen to the show, as if the only purpose of calling in is just the convenient way to listen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you don't have any comments, I'll just turn your mic off and we'll continue then.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. How do I do that? X. All right. Well, I guess I dropped him off because I pressed his mic and it wasn't muting it. Anyway, he's free to call back. Feel free to call back in now, and I won't put you up on the air again. That was weird. But anyway, good to learn something new there. Yeah, the Tennessee Valley Authority. And I know you don't have any solar panels, John, and so it doesn't really affect you. Well, I mean, it does in the fact that...
Well, that's my opinion, is that the only reason to invest in stuff like that is if you're off the grid. And I was telling you before that I was using these deep cycle batteries. I bought these marine batteries from AutoZone. They were deep cycle marine batteries.
Yeah, you went
and
deep cycle.
I would put them in parallel so I could get extra storage power from it. But running at 12 volts, and I would run an inverter.
Yeah.
But the only reason why I did that was because I was working off the grid. I was going out to construction sites where there was no power.
Right.
And
running your air compressor or your arc welder and your stuff like that,
no,
right?
No. I was using mostly lights, but not mostly lights. Sometimes lights, but mainly it was power drills because I had to drill holes through the studs to run electrical wire.
And you had an inverter, right?
Yeah, I used an inverter, and I just charged the batteries just from driving around in my car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I would disconnect them from my main battery so that I could run those down without having to worry about being able to start my car and driving off. So that so I had a switch there, so I could switch it on and off.
Cool. That's pretty neat
but
system.
But the point is that it's the same philosophy is what I think of. Is like years ago when I lived in California, I lived up in the mountains, and it was 20 miles from the nearest power pole where I lived. So you just had to, make do with other means of having energy, whether you were burning kerosene or whatever. But you just didn't have the luxury of power poles. But if you live right in town, like I do, right in the middle of town, well, you go through the trouble and expense and hassle. It really isn't worthwhile because electricity where I live is pretty cheap, and I don't use very much electricity.
Now, you've seen those little generators, right? Those little gas power generators that put 110 volts out, or some of them do 240.
Right, but that's also something that you would use if you were wanting to watch TV and you lived out in the mountains where there's no power.
Right.
But there's
and they're noisy.
Yeah, the only reason I would use or would ever even want a generator is if there was a hurricane, and years ago when a hurricane went through here, and it was at least 10 days, I forget exactly how it was, close to 2 weeks where I had no power because they just snapped all of the telephone poles right off, all the power poles, broke them in half.
And most generators don't have enough power to run the whole, if you have a 5-kilowatt, like 5,000-watt whole house air conditioner, that is you need a little bigger generator, like 5.5 or 7.5 kilowatt. If you have a 3 or 4 kilowatt, which is an 8 or 10 horsepower gas engine, that is not going to sustain the 5 kilowatt whole house air conditioner. You're probably just going to want to run a 500 watt window AC or so. And, cause then you have enough on a few kilowatts to run the refrigerator, which is, maybe 400 or 500 watts, and a couple fans, maybe another 50 watts or so. And, just minimal, bare minimums, and maybe a TV at 100 or 200 watts. But go ahead, John, just explaining some of that stuff. And deep cycle batteries have a very thick lead plate in them, many plates. Each cell is 2 volts. So you got 6 cells to make 12 volts. But a starter battery, which is what almost all cars have in them, is a cheese-grated lead plate. That's so that it puts a lot of current out in a short time for the starter to turn the gas engine over. but these marine.
A starter battery is mainly interested in just a big jolt of energy all at once.
A fast drain,
momentary, not a sustained thing.
Two different types of construction. Right. And they last a really long time, the deep cell ones, because they have those thick plates that don't disintegrate like a cheese grate starter battery does. But I'll let you continue with your discussion. You're driving around.
I don't have anything else to say other than, I just don't mess around with the solar stuff. If I was going to have solar anything, I would have heat exchangers for warming water up or something for hot water. But I just have a little tiny house and I don't have room for, any kind of additional things like tanks and batteries or anything like that. We've got zero room for anything.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny house.
Yeah. Tiny houses. You probably need a storage facility, which exactly you do, and that's good. Some shed or something, and then of course you got to pay a monthly bill for all that crap. But you could have like a shed in your backyard, right? Like a lawnmower shed, maybe like a 4x8 or something. Maybe those aren't air conditioned, so can't really store papers or metal things that are gonna corrode and bugs get into and rust, but you could store plastic things back there and things that aren't that are well sealed. You could put papers in a sealed plastic container and maybe put them in a bag, and they would probably be mostly safe in there from the humidity and stuff. But it's this TVA. You're right. They're just like this overreaching thing created so long ago. It was a corporate thing, and they just seemed to, and they made the dam, the Wilson Dam, completed in 1924, was the first dam under the TVA authority created in 1933. I wonder who grants that authority, John. Who do you think grants the TVA its authority? Congress? The de facto government Congress, that's what they say, that it was congressional charter in May 1933. I don't know what the hell a charter is. It sounds like a corporate entity to me. Do you know what a congressional charter is, John?
Not really.
Well, I'll just put it, neither do I. It sounds like a damn legal term to confuse the hell out of. It's a law passed by United States Congress that states the mission, authority, and activities of a group. And they have issued charters from 1791 till 1992 under Title 36 of U.S. United States Code. So that's a corporate. That sounds a lot like a corporate thing there.
Roosevelt was president in 1933. That's when he went into office. So he probably set that up himself. And he had a bunch of just bankers filled his government with. And then he had the court stacked and everything, too. So he could just pretty much do whatever he wanted to and get away with stuff.
Most corporations are not federally chartered, but are simply created as the D.C. corporation. Until the District of Columbia was granted the ability to issue corporate charters in the late 1800s, corporations operating in the district required a congressional charter.
That's just the Congress creating their own corporations. That's all it is.
Some charters create corporate entities like incorporation at the federal level. Examples are Federal Reserve Bank, Federal Deposit Insurance Corp, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, TVA, and such, and other national level groups such with charters like.
In my opinion, all of these things are criminal.
National Academy of Science.
None
boy
of this crap
girl.
Should ever be allowed. You know, setting up congressional corporations. It sounds insane.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the opposite of the government. That's like a,
a
governmental.
All this stuff is criminal. These are all just criminal thugs. This is what I was saying last time I was on your show. You know, this is the situation that we exist in. This is the mob. And these guys are mob puppets, and the mob owns corporations. This is what criminals do. If you're a big-time criminal, what they call organized crime, well, what do they do with their money? They take the money and they create corporations. Well, you can make a super corporation by having, you know, your own guys, and you spend your money to get your own guys that work for you in Congress, and they create this criminal congressional corporation. And it's just a big gangster mob thing. These are people who are thugs. Think of people like Dick Cheney. And this is something that's been bugging me, because I mentioned this on your show, on one of your shows not too long ago, that people don't realize that Cheney was the acting head of Halliburton when he was the vice president, including when 9/11 happened. So if you wonder, well, who pulled off 9/11? Well, guess what? It was Halliburton, and the guy running it was Dick Cheney, and he was vice president. At the same time, he was running this criminal organization, this big corporation that was part in bed of this big thug mobster corporation. He was the head of it, and he was running the government at the same time. So he could overhear, he's on one side, he's saying, all right, you thug criminal people, you go do this and this. And meanwhile, I'm over here telling the government to stand down and don't pay attention and go somewhere else so you guys can do whatever you're going to do and nobody's going to stop you or even observe what you're doing.
Right.
And that's why we can have things like 9/11. And because you have a situation like this.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have an idiot that's in power right now, two idiots, the president and vice president, who aren't mentally capable of pulling off stuff like that. But back in 2001, we did. We had somebody who was smart enough to run a corporation, a huge corporation like Halliburton, and could plan stuff out like that and carry it out. But we have people that are just virtual morons right now that are running it, and we're lucky that we have idiots. So they can't pull off crap like that.
Well, that doesn't mean that the Israeli running our Congress, you know, with all the money, $3 billion in aid going to Israel, and Netanyahu coming over here
my God. Benjamin Netanyahu is a total psychopath. Guy can't get it together to do anything.
Okay.
All he does, he's being schizophrenic, and he runs around telling one group one thing, tells another group something else, and then the rest of the time he spends lying about, oh, no, I didn't tell those guys one thing and the other guys something else. Oh, hell no. How dare you say that I am telling
because
one group
because it's okay to tell lies to
and
the goyim.
That's what he does. He spends all this time lying about what he says here and there. But it's exactly what he does. The guy's a total psychopath. Never going to be able to do anything other than just bring you know, his government into the dirt. You know, everything that he does is just it undermines the support from any other country, you know, the international community. You know, he creates a pariah, which is exactly the way they should see Israel to start with, is because this is a rogue nation that's run by the worst criminals. All the drug dealing, international drug dealing, and slave trading and all that crap goes in and out of Israel. All of this is a, you know, it's like, you know, the United States run by the mob. Well, it's still a country. The United States is still a country, even though at the top, it's the criminals. But if you go to Israel, it's 100% through and through criminal. There isn't any normal there. America is full of normal people. Israel isn't. There is no normal people in Israel. It's 100% criminal. And the evidence is right there. All these morons that voted just 2 weeks ago or a week ago, whatever it was, that they had an election, and these people went out and voted for Benjamin Netanyahu.
It's all staged. It's all rigged. You know, our voting is rigged.
Is the international criminals, the very elite criminals of the world, owning their own sovereign country. And this is exactly what I just said. You know, I don't have to sit there and repeat it. It's the center of the worst evil in the entire world goes in and out because there's no oversight. Just like I was talking about, the Tennessee Valley Authority, there's no oversight over it. They're a kingdom unto themselves. Well, here's an entire country that has a seat in the United Nations and all this crap. And there's no oversight over it. Zero.
Right.
Who in the world, you know, you have the Congress inviting Netanyahu to speak in front of the Congress, and nobody can stop him. There's, you know, it's just a totally saturated, but people don't see through the cover. They can't see through the cover because they say, oh, we're Zionists and we're religious. We're ultra-Orthodox. Netanyahu isn't ultra-Orthodox. Isn't he at the least? That guy, I mean, he's not wearing a fedora and has earlocks and things like that and walks around with his black coats on and crap like that. The guy's from Brooklyn. He's an American. He's an American Jew from Brooklyn. He's not ultra-Orthodox. He's not Israeli. He's nothing else. But he's a total psychopath criminal.
I think in the 1967 war or something like that. So there's some military background in Netanyahu. Some old pictures of him with some army fatigues and some special
ops. Well, a lot of Jews do that. American Jews do that all the time.
Right, right.
And they have a pass where they can go, when they turn 18, they go and they serve a year and a half or whatever over in Israel. Right. They get trained and they get a uniform and they carry a gun and they learn how to shoot and they do this and that. And that's normal. That's what a lot of, you know, Zionist Jews do. It doesn't mean that they're ultra-Orthodox. It has nothing to do with but mostly the ultra-Orthodox don't involve themselves in the military. They get passes to not be in the military. So just being in the military is almost an indication of you're not being an ultra-Orthodox.
In the last 5 minutes of the show, I want to switch gears over to this movie, Do You Believe, that I saw tonight. You may have seen the link on the posting there.
Well, I watched part of a trailer, but I mean, I couldn't even watch the whole trailer. I could watch like about a minute of it. And I'm like, no, what is it? You know, trying to dramatize faith? You know, give me a break, you know. Well, good. This might be something interesting if you were from another planet and came to Earth and had no idea what faith meant. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
They had a dozen people kind of like around New York City area, I guess, and that had, you know, various problems, some homeless people, some you know, a pastor. And this movie is made by the makers of, I think, God's Not Dead. That movie came out, I think, about a year ago, and which did okay. I guess it did pretty decent. This movie, you know, it's got a lot of dramatization stuff, and they really, you know, tie these stories together. You know, it's kind of neat how they got these the way things kind of. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, you know, some of these stuff, the culminations, I guess, towards the end. But it's got some powerful scenes to it. And, you know.
Oh, did you actually watch the movie?
Yeah, I actually went to see another movie. I wanted to see that new Divergent Insurgent movie that just came out last week. But they, I said, she goes, $14. I said, what? I don't want to see the 3D version. She goes, oh, well, that the 2D is not playing again till 9. And I could have sworn I saw on my phone, I went to Fandango, that there was a 7 o'clock. But I guess that was the IMAX or the 3D version. You got to pay extra for renting their glasses. And so I'm like, well, I'm not going to wait till 9 to see a two-hour movie and then get out at 11 and all that stuff. And so I said, okay, this was the other movie I saw on there that seemed like it, you know, it might be interesting. So I went, and the other good thing was it showed like around 7:30 about sundown, so I didn't have to waste a half hour of daylight sitting in a dark theater. You know, I know our days are getting longer and longer. Pretty soon it won't be dark till like 8:30 or 9. But, whatever. I actually, it's right next to a lake. Oh, I was at the lake and I saw the same jerks from the Victory Baptist out in Chuliota out there. The guy was playing his guitar and saying and preaching with guitar chords, and he was almost yelling, shouting at one point. But he was being quite loud. No microphone, no speakers or anything. Just a lone guy out there, kind of on the where they have the bands, but not in that area. And they have a bunch of kind of a stadium. It's concrete sitting area, and just out there preaching, and it almost seemed militant. You could almost hear anger in his voice. You know, I don't want to say like Apostle Paul chastising his the dude for taking somebody else's wife or whatever, but it's just
what?
General. You know how what? Some the prophets, you know, deliver their message with anger, fire and brimstone.
Maybe you're thinking of John the Baptist.
Yeah, maybe John the Baptist. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, John the Baptist. I'm sure Paul had some heated voice tones.
Yeah, well,
but
maybe, but it's not recorded in the Bible. But what John the Baptist did is.
Yeah.
In there.
But this guy, you know, you think you're out there preaching to the public, you might have a little more love in your message, but it just sounded like anger. It just to the tune of a guitar, you know, you'd think you'd be playing an instrument out there, you'd have a little more love, you know, with a guitar doing these strumming these chords out, delivering your message, you'd have a little bit of, you know, song rhythm, but it sounded like angry.
Well, if you want to be doing like that, you should be singing songs about how God loves you and how, you know, the world could be a nicer place.
It sounded
place
like a brainwashed young person that just.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make any sense to get out in public and start chastising people. That's just, you know, nobody wants to hear that stuff.
These are the same.
You know,
this is the same church.
You need to hear things about how to get along and how to love each other and not, you know, have division and hate each other because you're this and somebody else is something else. And, you know, we only like us people and we don't like the other people. You know, that's what you need to be singing about. You don't have to.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to go out there and say, oh, you people are evil because blah, blah, blah.
Seems like a corporate Baptist church that's trying to drastically improve its congregation. Maybe they're trying to build a bigger church, you know, like this one.
Well, I don't think that's going to.
The schizophrenic guy goes to that Starlight. We've done shows about Starlight Baptist Church, and they went from their tin metal shed to a nice big, you know, multi-million dollar thing that just completed last month, I think end of January or February. And it you know, looks like a real church. And
oops, excuse me, I was burping.
I have not been to this new Starlight Baptist, but I know that they're trying to increase their membership, but you know, they don't go to the same extent that this Victory Chapel place does. That's kind of a long drive